Welcome back to Wildcat Wednesday on the Bear Down Podcast. On today's episode, we hear from Arizona track and field sophomore Aaron Tack, Arizona baseball sophomores Owen Kromkowski and Andrew Kane, Arizona women's basketball alumna Kate Reese, and our very own vice president and director of athletics, Desiree Reed-Francois. We're starting off with the new program record holder for Arizona track and field's women's javelin, Aaron Tack. Welcome to Wildcat Wednesdays, Aaron Tack. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so the main thing we want to talk about is your silver medal finish at Big 12 Outdoor Track and Field Championships this past week. First of all, congratulations. And then second of all, not only did you take home second, but it was a program record for Arizona. So just first of all, take us to that day of the meet. How are you feeling headed into the event?
I was very excited. I knew, like, my preparation this whole season, I knew I had it in me. I've thrown marks further than what my previous marks were in practice, so I knew I had it in me, and just kind of trusting the process that I could throw that far.
Did you know what the program record was?
Yes, I knew it was 51, like something, and so when I saw the 54, I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, what were those emotions like? Was this a goal that you set out for yourself to meet?
Yeah, definitely here at Arizona, I knew that I wanted to push myself to be able to hit that mark. Like I said, I knew I had it in me. But just going out there on that, I didn't know it was going to happen that day. But it was definitely a goal of mine being here in Arizona to beat that record.
I want to go back to when you first started throwing javelin. How did you get into the sport? It's such a niche sport to get into.
Yeah, so initially my brother did it in high school. And he was my ride home from school. So I'd sit there and watch him. And then I kind of picked it up, and I was like, oh, I'm naturally good at this, just kind of like he was. So I just kind of followed in his footsteps, honestly did track to stay in shape for basketball and volleyball in high school. But then, yeah, I kind of ended up, like, having a knack for it, so I, like, stayed with it.
What did your developmental process look like in high school? Was it your coaches there? Was it your brother helping you?
I'd say all of the above. I mean, kind of like looking up to him, we would go do trainings together, and it kind of was fun just to like do as like a sibling thing. We always threw together because we both like wanted to get better. And then my coach back at home was also my volleyball coach in high school, so we were close, and we're close family friends, so that definitely helped.
When was it that you realized, okay, maybe I can throw in college and I want to throw?
Yeah, it was initially, I always kind of thought I was going to play basketball in college because I played basketball since I was in kindergarten. And so I tore my ACL my first game junior year, which because of COVID, all the games were pushed to spring. So I was out junior and senior year of basketball, and I was kind of like, wow, I'm not going to play basketball anymore. Thankfully, track, I was still able to do track, so that kind of took off, and I was like, yeah, I can do this in college, and yeah.
Wow, so was it just the timing of your rehab process that allowed you to get back in time to throw the javelin that season?
Yeah, because I tore it, and I got surgery exactly 4 years ago, and so that was May, which took me out for the fall and winter season, which was volleyball and basketball of my senior year, but track was in the spring, and it's not as like demanding on my knee, so I was able to do it in the spring, and like it took off, so that was good.
Okay, and what was your recruitment process like to come here to Arizona?
To all schools is like reaching out, them reaching back, and then just like my visit as soon as I stepped on foot on campus, I was like, oh, I want to be here. It's just a perfect combination of I think I can succeed just as a person, academically and athletically.
And you mentioned basketball, and you were competing this winter with Arizona women's basketball. So how did you balance the training schedule of basketball, you know, full force, two games a week, also throwing the javelin and just getting prepared for the spring?
Yeah. Honestly, with basketball, I mean, tons of conditioning, like getting in shape definitely helped me. I feel much more like explosive and like fast on the runway, which I think definitely helped. And then there were quite a few late nights at the track because coming out back after late night practice, and I was like, no, I have to go throw. I got a meet in a month. But, just kind of like balancing them, and yeah.
And you got to be a part of the inner squad meet here, the Red, White, and Blue Invitational too. So just were you just finding moments to go out there and compete?
Yes, no, I missed my sophomore year, so I've just been itching to get back out there. I mean, I haven't thrown in 2 years, so it was like, oh, I can't wait to be out there. So, yeah, the inter squad meet was super fun, and I was in basketball season, so I'm not training with all of my track friends, so it was good to see all them all out there and, like, compete and stuff.
Yeah, that leads me to my second question. As you just mentioned, you had to medically sit out last year for the outdoor season because you tore your ACL. So for those who don't know, ACL rehab process, a lot of those later months are very sport-specific training. How did the physical therapists here and the trainers work with both sports, basketball and javelin, with you?
So basketball, like I said, is very, like, much more obviously demanding on the knee, cutting and stuff. So all of our trainers work together. Like right now, I have PT after this with our basketball trainer and track trainer. I went in yesterday and they're both like, oh, let's both work with her. So it's nice that they all work together. They're all trying to like find a plan of, wait, let's do this. Oh, but this might be more Jeff specific. So they all work together and like just the whole staff works together and it's been really helpful.
Do you feel like there were any traits from basketball that allowed you to elevate yourself and throw in the javelin?
Yeah, kind of like I said earlier, definitely just like doing plyos, like being super explosive. Obviously, all the conditioning I've gotten in shape, and then also our strength trainer, he really got us in shape. In the summer, we were running the mile at 6 a.m. But yeah, just really getting in shape, but also building muscle at the same time definitely helped.
And this week is 520 day, and so we're asking everyone on this week's episode what their favorite thing about Tucson is.
I would say definitely the weather, and also that it's a one college town and that everybody just kind of groups around U of A and like supports U of A.
And you're from Washington, so what led into your decision to come to Arizona? I know you mentioned that first time on campus that, you know, you just loved the team, but anything else about Tucson that jumped out to you?
I knew I wanted to come to Arizona because of the weather. Both my brothers went to GCU, so I knew that I loved like the Arizona area, but definitely just stepping on campus, the coaches, the team made it feel like home, and I just knew that I could grow the most as a person here.
And do you have any summer plans?
Definitely gonna take some time off, rest a little bit. I've been pretty sore, but maybe like a family vacation, but yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, well-deserved time off. Get some rest. Thank you for being on today, and congratulations again on the program record and the silver medal.
Sweet. Thank you so much.
After earning a first-round bye in the Big 12 Baseball Championships this week, Arizona baseball will face the winner of BYU and ASU Thursday morning at 7 a.m. Mountain Standard Time in the tournament's quarterfinals. Sophomore pitcher Owen Kronkowski and sophomore infielder Andrew Kane join us now. Okay, Owen and Andrew, let's start off with this past weekend. You guys take the series against Houston, winning Friday and Saturday. After dropping Thursday night's game, how was the team able to flip the script those next two games?
You take it, Kane. You start it.
I was going to say, I just felt like we played very good team baseball. We just played very well together, like pitching picked each other up, and our offense came and played very well. So it was a good weekend to bounce back and win the series.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, I felt like we played more as a team, and guys were just playing for each other more so than themselves, and it just made it a lot of fun, and it's so easy to build momentum off of that when guys are just playing for each other.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, for you in game three, a home run and two doubles. What would you say is your approach at the plate right now?
Just find a good pitch to hit and be convicted in that and go after it. I think that's really helped, and I think a lot of our guys have bought into that, and we saw some good success this the past two games, so hopefully to carry that into the Big 12 tournament would be awesome.
And then Owen, for you, I just heard you talking a lot about what you've learned this season, and you said it was slowing the game down through mental prep, through routine. Could you dive a little bit more into that and how you are able to slow the game down?
The way I kind of like to do it is just like make the game fun for myself again, so feeling like I'm in a rhythm, almost like I'm dancing on the mound, is the way I'm able to find that like that joy in the game, and it just lets me play freely. Whenever I play that way, my mind's free. I'm not even thinking about like what's going on, and it's fun for me. I trust everyone behind me. I trust the pitch I'm throwing, and it makes it easy.
Mm-hmm. No, it makes sense, getting in the zone. Yeah. And then conclusion of the Houston series on Saturday, you guys head directly up to Arlington to get ready for the Big 12 tournament. Can you guys walk us through just your schedule of travel and practice and getting ready for that first game that you guys have on Thursday?
Yeah, it's just been, we've been waking up pretty early for breakfast to kind of prepare for that 9 a.m. game against the winner of ASU and BYU. And then after that, we'll lift and practice, and then we're kind of on our own for the last part of the day. So it's kind of up to everybody else to do what they want to do, go eat, you know, hang out with the guys. So it's been good. It's been fun. We're hoping to stay a while. So
Oh, and have you been able to explore the DFW area at all?
I haven't gone around much, but we're getting free time now, so definitely today after this, I'll be out and see the place a bit. There's not a bunch out here, but we'll have to see exactly what it offers.
Andrew, how about you? Same thing.
Not a whole lot. Like I said, I'm hoping to go out and do some things and out there and explore, but not yet. But we're going to.
Yeah, because you guys were here back in February for the start of the season. Did you guys get to eat any good barbecue or do anything in that trip?
Oh, I'm
What
not
you got,
sure. We got
Krim?
to ask McKinney. He's a Texas guy, so he'll know spots here.
Yeah.
There's a Six Flags across the street guys might be going to. Maybe not food there, but there's something might be
Yeah.
happening.
So I am from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I would say Spring Creek
Spring Creek,
is my favorite
perfect.
barbecue. I don't know if that's remotely close to where you guys are staying at or not. I'm not sure where you all are at, but plug for that place.
We'll have to go there.
When do you feel like this team is playing their best baseball?
I just feel like we talked about earlier, when we're playing for something bigger than just ourselves, like we're playing for this team, this university, everybody that's played here before us, all those things. I think that's when we play our best. And just like picking each other up, doing all the little things. And, we have really good talent on this team. So we clicked all those things. We'll be very good.
Yeah, I mean, when our vibes are highest, we're playing the best. It's easy to be that way. So I think like just staying with our guys no matter what's going on has made it a lot of fun, and it makes it an easy group to play with.
And 520 Day is this week. And so, with you both being native to the Tucson area, I thought I would ask you a couple questions about your love of Tucson, starting off with your decision to come to Arizona and play baseball here. Why? Why stay home?
I mean, you say it, it's home for me. So everyone's here in my family, close to all my friends, everything. It's been growing up watching games has been awesome. And then being able to finally play here, like it truly is a dream to a reality. So I think that's been a sick part. That's like hasn't fully sunk in for me yet, but it is a such an honor to play here. It's a beautiful ballpark, everything, beautiful campus. I love it.
Yeah, no, like Owen said, having family like 30 minutes away from me is just so nice and relaxing and relieving. Whenever I need anything, I can go to them. And obviously, growing up and watching all the success Arizona baseball had, and then being able to put the jersey on and play for it, like you said, it's just a dream. So it's just truly blessed to be able to go here and play here and be able to play for this university. It's been amazing so far.
Do you guys have any memories that stand out to you from when you were younger and just watching Arizona baseball, maybe even catching a game in person?
I'll let Cram go. What you got?
I mean, I remember watching, was it 2012 when they beat South Carolina? I remember watching that with my parents. I wasn't there, obviously, but watching Chase Davis's walk-off against ASU, I remember watching that. I wasn't there at that. They beat Ole Miss. I was at that game for the Supers. Like, those are all just cool historical moments I've watched. Kane, what you got?
The one I remember is in 2016 when they were in the national championship against, I think it was Coastal Carolina, maybe. I remember at home watching that with all my parents and all that, and being heartbroken that they ended up getting beaten that game. But being able to see him on TV at that age is just like made me want to go here and play here. So.
And then last question for you guys. What is your favorite thing to do in Tucson when you're not playing baseball, not doing anything school related? You have some time off.
Oh wow. I would say I love to golf. There's so many nice courses in Tucson. That would be the thing that comes to my head right away. So I like to golf and explore.
I'd say, I mean, we got beautiful sunset, so I mean over winter I'd always go out with some of the guys and take pictures out wherever out and then out in nature. So I'd say just seeing the outside in Tucson, probably my favorite.
Do you have a go-to spot?
I mean, Gates Pass is the go-to, but I don't know, I need to find better spots.
No, that one's pretty good.
It is beautiful there.
Well, thank you guys so much for being on here today, and best of luck Thursday and this weekend.
Thank you. We
Thank
appreciate
you.
it.
Thank you for your time.
Four-time All Pac-12 player Kate Reese stopped by McHale Center this week. Let's check in with the former Arizona women's basketball forward. We have a very special guest joining us on this episode of Wildcat Wednesday. Welcome back to Tucson, Kate Reese. What brings you back to the U of A?
Hi, so obviously I graduated in 2023 and have been overseas since then, but each year I try to come back to Tucson and, you know, get to see people and, you know, see what's changed and what's stayed the same. So this is my time to come back this year.
I love it. What's the first stop you make, besides maybe here in McHale, when you come back to Tucson? Any place you want to go or any place you want to eat?
Oh, that's so hard. Probably, I always love going on University and kind of seeing, you know, the new spots, but probably Gentle Ben's or something like that normally, you know, grab a bite to eat.
Yeah, no, a classic. And as you mentioned, you've been playing overseas. Can you give us an update and just Wildcat Nation an update on all you've been up to since graduating?
So right after the 2023 season, I went to Australia and I was playing on the Gold Coast for the summer league there. And then I got home, signed a contract to go to Belgium, and I was playing in Mechelen over there for 2 seasons, and then went to Australia again. And here we are. So I just signed a new contract to go and play in Poland in September. And so, yeah, that's kind of what's been going on with me.
Congratulations, that's awesome. What has been one of the coolest experiences that's come with playing overseas for you?
I think getting to kind of be immersed in other cultures, learning, you know, what they prioritize over there and, you know, kind of seeing the differences between America and, for me, Australia and Belgium so far. And I think that that's really exciting, getting to meet, you know, so many different people from other countries. I played with girls from Latvia, Lithuania, like just so many different places. And I think it's awesome that, you know, basketball really is a small community and, like, we'll be able to keep up with each other throughout the years.
When you come back here, what is the first memory that hits you when you step back onto the court?
Honestly, the fans. I mean, just going back there and remembering my freshman year, you know, having, you know, such a small number of people that were supporting us and, you know, coming to my last season and seeing, you know, we would have 10,000 people at the games, and that's like something that, you know, kids dream of coming here. And I think it's an awesome thing to experience. Like, it gives me goosebumps thinking about it now. But the support that women's basketball has here is so important.
What's your favorite memory that you made in Tucson off of the court?
I think just getting to know people. I think my best friends from the team, Madison Connor and Lauren Ware, like, I still keep up with them to this day. I'm actually going to see Maddie tonight. But I think just being able to make those memories and, you know, stay in touch with people that, you know, you've connected with throughout the years. And, you know, we have memories that we share. And, you know, I think that's one of the most important things, is, like, building your community.
And as you come back here this week, I know you got to meet Coach Becky Burke and her new staff. As you got to know them a little bit and those interactions, what excites you most about the future of Arizona women's basketball?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a new era for women's basketball, and I'm so excited to be a part of it and to support them, you know, on their way. I think it kind of brings me back to my freshman year, you know, being the foundation of the success that we had while I was here. And I think that they're awesome. I think Coach Burke, she's fiery. I think it'll be so exciting to see her on the sidelines and, you know, how her and the coaching staff are. And I think that there's a lot of personality there, and I think that they're going to do great things, and I'm excited to see the new players coming in and, you know, them leaving their legacy and, you know, creating the foundation for what's to come for Arizona women's basketball.
Yeah, you were the highest ranked recruit in Arizona women's basketball history when you came here. Why did you choose the U of A?
I think, you know, you got to bet on yourself. You have to have a chip on your shoulder, and I wanted to be somewhere where I could make an instant impact. I can help a team win, and I feel like looking back now, I did leave my legacy, and, you know, I hope, you know, for Coach Burke and the staff that that's their intention, and I think all these girls that are coming, they're betting on themselves and betting on, you know, what they can do to turn this program back around again. And so I'm excited to be able to watch that. It'll be overseas, so I'll be like waking up in the morning, checking and seeing what's going on, but I will definitely be following.
Yeah, as you talk about the parity of when you came to this program and now, you know, a fresh start here, what's your advice to those girls who are going to be building a new foundation?
I think the sky's the limit for what they can achieve here. I think the resources, the coaching staff, I think they're ready to give it their all. And so I think, you know, the players do the same exact thing, and just, you know, be vulnerable, be coachable, and just, you know, be ready for the competition. I think that's the most important thing is, you know, just be ready when the time comes and, you know, have your moment.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kate.
Yes, thank you, and bear down and go Cats.
Big news hit social media this week. The return of Arizona's Cactus logo to the Lute and Bobby Olsen court in McHale. Kenzie Fowler-Quinn caught up with Vice President and Director of Athletics Desiree Reed-Francois for more information on this announcement.
Desiree, thanks for joining us on the Bear Down podcast. Big news this week as the Cactus logo officially makes its return to McHale. So just wanted to ask you, why now and why was this a priority for Arizona?
You know, when I first came back, and it's been, I think, 14 months, I remember looking down at the court and saying, where's the Cactus logo? Like, I love the Cactus logo. And I'm probably showing my age, Kenzie, but like, I was here in the 90s and that Cactus logo, it meant something. It was unique to Tucson. And when you saw it, you just automatically associated it with excellence. And so I wanted to explore putting it back on the court.
And social media is abuzz this week. It has gone to a fan vote to help make the decision. So how did you decide that you were going to do a fan vote?
Well, Tony Daniel and I talked about it, and I knew I loved the Cactus logo, but I also know that this program isn't about what I love. I wanted to make sure our fans, who are the backbone of our program, that they that their voices were heard, and we listened to them. So that's why we said, let's go ahead and put it out to a fan vote. So I hope that people also are in alignment with me and that we also, that everybody likes the Cactus as much as I do.
I was going to say, by the time this podcast comes out, I think it will be close to being wrapped. Do you have a personal favorite? Maybe all of them? I don't know.
I definitely have a personal favorite. And I am definitely going to go on and vote. I like the Cactus.
Okay.
And so I'm gonna vote, and I know I only get one vote, but I think it's important that this program represents our entire community, and it's not just about one person.
Love it. A couple of other questions before we let you go. This week is 520 Day, kind of celebrating Tucson's our zip code. So you're well past your first year here in Tucson, yeah. And obviously you've been here for many years. But what is maybe your favorite thing about Tucson in 520 Day?
Well, my favorite part about Tucson is the people, without a doubt. But on a personal level, 520 May 20th, about 21 years ago on May 20th, I was actually giving birth to my son. And so Jackson Francois will turn 21 years old tomorrow on May 20th. It's as a mother, you're just like, oh gosh, my baby is 21. I know I'm not allowed to say baby, so he's really not going to like that I just said that. But it's, so it's going to be a special. We're going to celebrate two different things.
Love it. Of course, we just had big commencement, both student athlete and then, of course, the big one in Arizona Stadium. What was that like for you to see all of our student athletes graduate? And then, of course, the big fireworks show celebrating our university.
I really appreciate the way that our university celebrates graduates. This is one of those life milestones. And, you know, when I was speaking to our student athletes at our convocation just for student athletes, I started choking up a little bit because I started looking into the crowd and seeing their faces and just thinking about how I've gotten to know them. And, you know, I was looking out at Brooke, and she's moving to London, and she was one of our incredible divers, and was thinking about all that she has gone through, and I was thinking about how proud of her I am. And there's so many student athlete stories as I looked out at that audience. And I was also thinking, just a little bit selfishly, that next year I'm going to be a mother of a student athlete that's going to be graduating.
Oh, yeah.
So it's I was thinking about their families as well, because the families have given so much so that their students could achieve not only what they do on the court or in the pool, but what academically as well. And I was just really thankful. Our staff worked really hard. Marisol Quiroz and her staff and put on a really special event. And so I was really proud of them.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Bear down.
Go Cats.
That does it for this week's episode. Thank you for listening to Wildcat Wednesday on the Bear Down podcast. Bear down and go Cats.